All our fathers, stand up. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can be seated. Praise God. You know, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 4:15, that we have, in Christ, we have lots of tutors. We have lots of people who teach us things. We learn things from them. We glean things from them. We appreciate the gift of God in them. God has what the Bible calls tutors throughout the body of Christ. There are lots of tutors. But 1 Corinthians 4:15 says, you might have many tutors, but you have very few fathers. And I'm going to embarrass him, and I know he doesn't want me to do this, but Pastor Hagin, he is a father. He not only is a father to his family, but he is a spiritual father in the body of Christ. And I want you guys to stand on your feet. Don't we love Pastor and Mrs. Hagin? And I want a few of you down here. A few of you come down here and hug his neck and hug her neck. A few of you come right down here. Come right down here right now, and let's show our love to them. Come right out of your seat. Come down here. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Come right down here and hug them and show your love. The rest of us are still applauding. Don't you appreciate them? The Bible says we have tutors. We have tutors, but we have very few fathers. Come on quick. Come on quick. Come on quick. Come on quick. You don't have time to talk to them. Just hug them and love them. You don't have time to talk to them. Just hug them and love them. Love them. Come on. Come on. Come on, the rest of you. Praise God. Let's just thank God for the pastors and the father's heart in Pastor Hagin. We have a spiritual father in him, and we thank God for his example. Come on, we don't have time to talk to him. Let's just hug him and hug him and hug him. Come on, let's move, let's move. Come on, just hug him and move. Hug him and move. Come on, come on, do it quick, do it quick. Come on, do it quick. Come on, come on, come on. Hurry up, come on, hurry up. Come on, come on, don't leave Mrs. Hagin out. Come on, don't you love him? Don't you appreciate him? Come on, we got 30 more seconds now, 30 more seconds. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, you got 30 seconds. Come on, show your love, show your love. Come on. Come on, come on. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you appreciate their example in ministry? Don't you appreciate their integrity in ministry? They have stood with an example and an integrity through the decades. Don't you appreciate that? Praise God. Hallelujah. We have lots of tutors. We have lots of people who can teach us the word. We have very few fathers in the faith. Very few fathers in the faith. Come on, we got 10 seconds. Y'all going too slow. Come on. You got 10 seconds. 10 seconds. 10 seconds, I'm going to consider this a prayer line. I'm going to start praying for everybody down here. It's going to be a prayer line. Come on. Come on. God's given us a father in the faith. A father in the faith. I wonder if you recognize. We have lots of tutors. We have lots of people who can teach a great word. Thank God for that. But we have very few people who are fathers in the faith. Fathers in the faith. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Give them one more big hand. Come on. Don't we love them? Let's show them that we love them this morning. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what Harold's telling them. Harold's saying, I appreciate you. Don't you love Harold? Praise God. Harold and Lisa, we love them. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, Mark, you're the last one. Come on, Sister Prani, let Mark hug him. There we go. All right. There we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now give them one more big hand. Come on. Come on. Come on. We have tutors everywhere. We got tutors. We got very few fathers in the faith. Very few fathers in the faith. They asked one small little boy, they said, what's the difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day? How would you define Father's Day? They asked the little boy. Little boy said, it's just like Mother's Day. Father's Day, just like Mother's Day, only you don't have to spend as much. There was a young man. He was a successful attorney. He described the greatest gift he ever received from his dad. He said, the greatest gift I ever got was a gift I got one Christmas when my dad gave me a small box. Inside was a note saying, son, this year I will give you 365 hours, an hour every day after dinner. His dad said, it's yours, and we'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll go where you want to go. And he said, we'll play whatever game you want to play. It's your hour. 365 hours for the year his dad gave him. And he said this. He said, my dad, he was a successful attorney. He said, my dad not only kept his promise, But every year he renewed that promise. And it's the greatest gift I ever had in my life. And he said, I'm the result of his time. The power of a father's time. You know, if you were reading a job description about a father, you might see it posted like this. If you were looking for a job description for a father, it might be posted like this. Position, dad. This is the challenging permanent work in an often chaotic environment. Candidates must possess excellent communication and organizational skills, be willing to work variable hours, which will include all evenings and weekends, and then frequent 24-hour shifts on call, some overnight travel required, including trips to primitive camping sites on rainy weekends, endless sports tournaments in faraway cities, sitting in the heat and the cold. And by the way, your travel expenses will not be reimbursed. The job description for a father would go on to say under the category responsibilities, it would say must provide on-site training and basic life skills such as nose blowing. Must have strong negotiating skills and conflict resolution with other members. Must be able to think outside the box, but not lose track of the box, because you more than likely will need it for a school project. Must be able to drive motor vehicles safely under loud and adverse conditions while simultaneously practicing the above-mentioned conflict resolution skills. Must be able to withstand criticism such as, you don't know anything. Must be willing to be indispensable one minute and an embarrassment the next. Must be willing to be hated, at least temporarily, until someone needs $20 to go to the movies. Must be able to handle the assembly of products and product testing for a 500,000 cheap plastic toys, bicycles, battery-operated devices without having to waste time looking at instructions and manuals. Must have high, energetic, entrepreneurial spirit, because you will be involved in constant fundraisers, often required to purchase the unsellable junk, I mean products, yourself. Must always hope for the best and be prepared for the worst. Be prepared for constant janitorial work, yard maintenance throughout the facility, including removal of hair from clogged drains. Under the category possibility for advancement and promotion, it says none. Your job is to remain in the same position for years without complaining, constantly retraining and updating your skills so that those in your charge can ultimately surpass you. Previous experience is none. Wages and compensation, none. Benefit package, finally, the benefit package. While there are no health or dental, there's no health, there's no dental insurance, no pension, no tuition reimbursement, no paid holidays, no stock options are offered. But the job supplies limitless opportunities for personal growth and free hugs for life if you play your cards right. Job description of a father. I want to share just three pictures here with you, just in my own life. I'm so grateful. I thank you, the video team, and I thank all of those in communication who helped me with my slides. The title of this message is You're a Good, Good Father. And I'd like to show you the first picture. It's of my dad. He's been in heaven since January 2014. That's my dad, 1952. He had just got back from Korea, and he met my mom later that year. He served in the military 20 years, my dad did. We lived in France. We lived in Holland. We lived all over the world, Japan. We lived all over the world, including stateside here. But I learned so many things about who I am today from my dad. And I want to show you the second picture, one of the pictures I'm most proudest of in my photo library. That's JP I'm holding. The little baby there is JP, this big joker down here. And that's Stephen, my oldest son. He's in Destin, Florida today with his family. Stephen is. But those are my two boys. There's a third picture I want to show, one I'm most proud of. There. That's my dad and Pastor Hagen and I. And I think that's 2005. My dad loved Pastor Hagen. He could see not just the leadership in him, but he could see the type of spiritual father that Pastor Hagen was, and my dad loved Pastor Hagen, and he's in heaven today. Thank you for showing those pictures for me. I showed you those pictures because I want to say, you know, I had a great dad. My dad was my best friend. When I was first married, my dad, he stood with me. I had lots of friends all my life, but my dad was my best man. And my dad, he taught me to love open wheel racing. We began in France at the 24 hours of Le Mans. My dad taking me as a baby in his arms to the 24 hours of Le Mans. And when we came back stateside, we loved open wheel racing. And we lived in Trenton, New Jersey. When we came back stateside, Trenton had a track there. It was the Trenton 150, and they made it a 300-mile track. After Mario Andretti won Indy in 1969, my dad and I, we went to the what was then the Trenton 300, and Mario came to Trenton, won the Trenton 300. We were Mario Andretti fans in his fan club all those years. My boys they're always getting on me because I make them root for any Andretti that's in the race. Even now, when we watched the Indy 500, they took me back in 21. My boys took me to the Indy 500. We had a great time, and my daughter-in-law. But oh my goodness, they're always saying, why do we have to root for somebody named Andretti? I said, it's a family tradition. You're rooting for the Andrettis, you know. My dad, I had a great dad. I remember one time about my dad, you know, I was playing football. I was our starting safety, and I'd worn out my cleats, and my dad had been real busy, and he told me, he said, Bill, I promise you, son, by the time of your game, you'll have those cleats, and my cleats were worn out. And man, it came time to load the bus because we were playing out of town. And I don't think my dad realized we were playing out of town. And so I had to put on those cleats, and they were all worn out. And I was on the back of the bus not even thinking about it. And we were headed down the highway. We were playing out of town. I'm in the back of the bus. And I never forget this green 98 Oldsmobile rolled up on the highway alongside that bus with my dad flagging down the driver. And the driver pulled over. They said, is that your dad? I said, that's my dad. And he had a brand new box of all white Pumas football cleats, you know, and they passed them all back. And they said, man, your dad, he caught the bus. He chased down the bus. And my dad said, there was no way I was going to break that promise to you. I'll never forget that. I'll say finally about my dad and leave it alone. I remember when I hit my first and only home run. I didn't know the ball had gone out of the park. It was a low inside fastball, and I hit it and headed left. And, of course, you know, when you're playing baseball, your job's not to watch the ball. Your job's to get to the base and run the bases as fast as you can. And I was trying to hit the inside corner of the first base. I was trying to hit that inside corner when I heard my dad yell out. And he yelled so loud it startled me, and I looked out. He had his hands up, and it made me look at the shortstop. He threw his glove up in the air, and I could see the left fielder was looking beyond the fence, and man, how we celebrated. I hit that home run. But the thing about my dad, if I struck out, he was no different to me. If I struck out, he hugged me just as tight. There was no difference in his love, whether I played great or whether I played terrible. It didn't matter. I didn't feel any challenge. I didn't feel like I had to jump through any hoops to experience his love. And I'm sure with your father, many of you here, you have many strong emotions today about your dad as well. And if you've grown up with a great dad, then you're blessed. And this is the day to honor your dad. If he's not here with you, call him. And if he's in heaven, then share his memory with someone. And if you had a good dad like me, you know, your dad, no doubt, he took care of your family. Your dad, no doubt, he worked hard hours. And fathers, they do an incredible job. And oftentimes fathers go and they'll work that factory job because they know they've got a wife, they've got kids, and they'll put up with all types of turmoil and things that maybe if they were just single, there are things a father might not put up with sometimes. But a dad, you know, when he knows he's got kids counting on him, a dad will go down to that factory and work those long hours. He'll put up with all kinds of grief because he knows he's got a family to take care of. A dad will get up early, working hard at the factory or down on the farm. A dad will make it happen no matter what it costs. A dad will work one job or two jobs. I know fathers who have worked three jobs. My father emphasized education in our family, but I saw him demonstrate it when my dad got off from work. He'd eat dinner and he'd head right off to night school. He was trying to get his college degree at night. Dads lay it all on the line for their families in ways that you would never know. Your dad, no doubt, he took you to the father-daughter dance. He came to your ballet recitals. Your dad, no doubt, chased off some no-good boy that he could already see that wasn't going to be right for you. And when you're a daddy's girl, all you have to say is the word jump, and your dad responds with how high. When you were afraid, it was your dad who held your hand and kept the big old boogeyman or whatever the monster was under the bed. It was your dad that came and kept you safe. And I'm not saying your dad was perfect, but I am saying you should find a way to honor him and to thank your dad. But there's been a vicious attack against the family, and there's been a vicious attack against fathers. And in our world, listen to me now, and in our culture, there has been an attack by design. And it started, Satan started with the home. But to get to the home, Matthew 12:29 says, how can one enter the house of a strong man and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And Satan has attacked over and over again the institution of the family, and specifically the fathers. I want to show you some statistics. Things have gotten so grim in our culture. I want to show you some statistics. Did you know that there are, in fatherless homes, there are 24.7 million children living without their biological father? That is an amazing statistic of the numbers of kids growing up today without their biological dads. And thank God for surrogate dads and stepdads and father figures who have stepped in oftentimes to fill the role. But 24.7 million children living without their biological father. 71% of all teenage pregnancies happen in homes where the father's not there. 71% of high school dropouts occur in homes where there's no father there. Going on, it gets worse. Let's go to the next slide. Because in fatherless homes, 85% of the children who have behavioral disorders happen in homes, fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 63% of all youth suicides come from fatherless homes. Boys are 37% more likely to use drugs when they come from a fatherless home. What are you saying? I'm saying there's been an attack to remove the fathers from the home with devastating consequences. And part of a son and a daughter's identity is established by the constant love and affirmation that their parents give to them, and the father must have a strong, affirming place in his son's life and his daughter's life, a strong emotional bond and connection with his daughter for them to grow up in a healthy and a safe way. And can I say this to all of the people who grew up without a natural father, and God sent you a godly stepfather. He sent you a role model, someone who stepped into that role to love you and show you support as a father. And if you got that type of love, then you're truly blessed, and you should honor that person today. I'm very close with a young man, have been for years now. My son Stephen, his best friend in high school, he was always at the house, and you know what, I'd always feed him or whatever. And he asked me one day, he said, Mr. Rea, you know, I've grown up without my dad. And he said, I know I'm always at your house. And he said, I don't have anybody to call dad. Could I call you Pops? Would it be okay if I call you Pops? And my heart melted in a moment. I just said, yes, absolutely. And I looked at him and I said, would it be okay if I called you son? I thought he was going to fall out on the floor. That was what he really wanted. He said, yeah, yeah. And to this day, he calls me, I don't know, at least every 2 months he checks in with me. And he starts out, Pops, how are you? How's Mama Tony? And I say, son, I'm doing well. We're doing well. How are you? And then we hash it up and start talking. what's going on in his life. So many people have stepped into that role as a father. So many people have stepped into that important role as a father, and you will never know what that means. My grandfather did that for me. My grandfather on my mom's side, he wasn't really my grandfather. He was really my great uncle. And my mom's father had been killed, and my great uncle raised my mom. And as a result, he treated us as no different than his own grandchildren. And so my grandfather that I knew on his side, he was an awesome role model and a tremendous Christian and just loved God with all of his heart. And there are so many men, some of them are not even natural fathers, but they are spiritual dads, and they help, they encourage, they motivate, they coach, and they encourage people, and they ought to be applauded today just as much as anybody else. The Bible says in Ezekiel 22:30, God says, I was looking for a man to stand in the gap. The scripture says in Ezekiel 22:30, I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land so that I would not destroy it. Man, God is still looking for a man. He's looking for a dad to stand in the gap, to stand in the gap for the family, to stand in the gap for a son and a daughter. Colossians 3:21 says, fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. I want to switch the focus of my conversation for a few minutes now, and let's talk about the fatherhood of God. How many of you know God as a father? You know God as a father. He is awesome. He is our awesome Father God. The title here, he's a good, good father. This first point, I want to make three points quickly here. Look, number one, God is the ultimate father. You know why I say that? God loves us unconditionally. God accepts us into his family. God's provided for a way for us to be forgiven for everything we've done wrong. The thing I love about God he's the ultimate father. You know why? That unconditional love. God's unconditional love to you and I, it means this: we don't have to jump through hoops. I started to bring a hula hoop out here, but y'all would have thought, he going to do the hula hoop. But I'm not going to put that image in your mind. What happens in the world so often is that someone that you love makes you earn that love. They make you do something to be good enough for that love. And then when you jump through the hoop, they raise the hoop higher next time. Someone says, well, I'll love you if you get good grades. You try to get good grades, then the next time they raise the hoop higher. Someone says, I'll love you if you're a good person, or I'll love you if you're lovely enough. And each time they raise the hoop higher and higher and higher with a higher standard. And there's nothing harder than trying to love somebody, and through their own insecurities, they're so insecure. They've not allowed Father God to heal their hearts, to teach them who they are in Christ, so that they can be secure in that love. Because when you accept the love of Father God, if you'll find out who you are in Christ, he'll make you secure in that love. But we got so many insecure people today. And the people who love these insecure people, they have to constantly jump through hoops. Somebody said, I love you. Then they raise the bar higher. Somebody says, well, I love you. They raise the bar higher. Father God loves us unconditionally. In spite of ourselves, in spite of who we are, God is the ultimate father. I love this about God. He's the ultimate father because our father is a divine protector. Is there anybody in here and you have found out that God will sure enough protect you? I said he's the ultimate father because he's a divine protector. Psalm 91. Verse 4 through 7. Psalm 91, 4 through 7 and 9 through 11. I'll read it real quick. It says, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter
3, verse 3 says, "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one." Over and over again, God has revealed himself as a divine protector. I'm always so thankful to the Lord the many times, and I know in your life, you just raise your hand. The times God's protected you, I think of all the times in my life that God has protected me. I think of getting on that FedEx plane, I was in Memphis, Tennessee, on a FedEx plane, jump seating, headed to Newark, New Jersey, going to see my dad, and a big old DC-10, and man, they ran that thing down the runway, and you know, FedEx, it's packed with freight. They ran that big DC-10 down the runway, heavy, what they call it in their call letters. They call it, when the plane is loaded down, they call it heavy, and they'll announce the call letters in heavy. Man, that big DC-10, we took off down that runway. I'll never forget that. And that engine blew up, and that thing just started falling out of the sky. And I remember, you know, how your life just flashes before you, and I was praying in a brand new tongue. But the Lord, he blessed us and spared us and got us back down on the ground. And I'll never forget his protection on that plane that day. You know, our Heavenly Father, he's not just a divine protector. He's an abundant provider. Anybody here know God is an abundant provider? Anybody here say he's Jehovah Jireh to me? Psalm 37:25, the scripture says, "I have been young," David said, "and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread." You know why? Because God is an awesome, abundant provider. Matthew 6:33 in the New Living says, "Seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously, and he will give you everything you need." God is a divine protector. God is an abundant provider. And God is a trusted promise keeper. In Joshua 23:14, Joshua laid it out in a way that I don't think you could say it better. Joshua 23:14, he said, "Soon I will die, going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed." Glory be to God. How many can say like Joshua, every promise of the Lord has come true and not a single one has failed? You know why? Because God is a promise keeper. 2 Peter 1:4 says, "Whereby have been given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." God is a promise keeper. So my friend, not only is God the ultimate father, secondly, God is a father to the fatherless. God is a father to the fatherless. You might be sitting here today and hearing all the accolades about fathers and hearing me talk about my dad. You've heard other people today talking about their dad. You might be sitting here thinking, "Hey, preacher, what about me? My dad wasn't there for me. I wish I had a father who was there for me. I didn't grow up with that. I wish he'd been there to take me to the daddy-daughter dance." You might be listening to me saying, "I wish my father had been there to walk me down the aisle. He wasn't there." You might be saying today, I wish he'd come to my ball games, my father. I wish my father had been at my recitals, my parent-teacher conferences. I wish he'd been there just to talk to me during the tough times. And you might be listening to this message thinking it's impossible for me to relate to you as you talk about your good dad. I'm in no way justifying the hurt, the pain, even the abuse that you may have suffered at the hands of someone who was supposed to be a father figure to you or just to be there for you. But I do want to say this, acknowledging your pain and hurt. I want to say this. Sometimes the first step to healing is to stop drinking the poison of unforgiveness. And sometimes the way you stop drinking the poison of unforgiveness is just to begin by faith. And just to forgive by faith. And we begin the journey of healing in our lives by learning to forgive by faith and allowing God's unconditional love to heal our heart and to heal our life. Because God has identified himself as a father to the fatherless, as a father to the fatherless, as a defender of the defenseless. And Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. Psalm 68, verse 5 and 6. The scripture says this: "A father of the fatherless and a judge for the widows is God in his holy habitation. God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious dwell in a parched land." Isaiah 1:17. It says this: learn what it means to do what is good by seeking righteousness and justice. Rescue the oppressed. Uphold the rights of the fatherless and defend the widow's cause. Over in James 1:27, you say, Brother Bill, you're putting out those scriptures too fast. I'm just trying to balance the time that we have, and I want to be able to get through what I have for you in just a few moments here. So if you have to just get this message and just go back and get those scriptures, do it that way. James 1:27. It says this, James 1:27, the Amplified: pure and unblemished religion, as it is expressed in outward acts, is in the sight of our God and Father, is this: to visit and look after the fatherless and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself uncontaminated by the secular world. The hearts of everyone who grows up without a father is dear to our Father God, and he reaches to you. Psalm 27:10 says, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. The Lord will take me up. And so God, he reaches out to you this morning. But what is necessary to experience the fatherhood of God, if you didn't grow up with a father, is that you engross yourself in God's word. You delve into the word to find out who you are in Christ and the depth of the love that God has for you. And until you do that, you'll never sense the full power of the love of God to father you, whether you had a great father or not. See, it really doesn't matter. If you didn't have a great father, you've got a great father now. Our Father God just waiting to lavish love on you. Tony told me the other day, she said, boy, you keep spoiling me. I said, girl, you spoiling me. I said, I'm going to spend the rest of my days trying to spoil you, girl. But it's nothing in comparison to the way that our Father God lavishes his love on you this morning. And there's a picture. Do we have this other picture here of what it means to put yourself in the scripture? I love this picture. I love this picture because that young lady, she needs a hug. She needs to be fathered. She needs to be loved. And what's happening? She's in the word, and the word, God, through his word, is wrapping his arms. Can you see that? Can you see the symbolism? It's God through his word wrapping his arms around her. And when you get in the word, God will wrap his arms around you in love. And sometimes the only thing missing is that you haven't taken the time to get in the word. But when you get in the word, you'll sense the spiritual arms of your father close ranks around you. Thirdly, and finally this morning, God is a restorer of fathers and children. God is a restorer of fathers and children. Go with me to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to read the first three verses. 2 Timothy chapter 3. God is a restorer of fathers and children. He's a restorer of fathers and children. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 3, point out the problem. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers. Listen now, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious, gossips, without self-control, brutal haters of good. But did you hear the part that I read in there characterizing the last days, being characterized by children, disobedient to parents, ungrateful? I tell you, we ought to have hearts full of gratitude for all that our parents have done. Over in Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, a very important scripture. God talking about the end times, the end times, something he's going to do in the end times. And it's so good for us to highlight as we see the season spiritually change and as we move closer and closer to the end of all things. But God says there is something that he's going to cause to happen at the end times that is an incredible phenomena. And God is doing this today. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, it says this: behold, I am going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now listen to verse 6. He will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. Man, God is going to restore what he's doing. He's restoring the hearts of children to the Father and the hearts of fathers to their children. And your heart may have been broken. You may have gone through unimaginable things. But let me tell you what God is up to. He's up to restoration. He wants to restore the hearts of the children to the fathers and the hearts of the fathers to the children. And sometimes we have to reach out where the Bible says, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. And sometimes we have to reach out and let God do that through us. I want to say, don't give up. Don't give in, because God is healing hearts. He's putting families together. He's healing sons and daughters back with their fathers. He's bringing the hearts of the fathers back to their children and the hearts of the children back to their fathers. And sometimes the biggest battle that a father faces is with a seemingly unbeatable opponent when he looks in the mirror. It's not the devil that's the biggest problem, because the devil's a defeated foe. We just have to keep him under our feet. But sometimes the foe that the father faces that's the toughest is when he looks in the mirror. The biggest opponent he has to face sometimes. He sees his mistakes. He sees his flaws. He realizes he could have done something better. He begins to devalue or diminish all of the great things that he did. And if that's you, let me just speak to your heart, because the Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to those of us who are in Christ. When is that? Now. There's therefore now no condemnation. When? Now. We serve a God who offers us redemption and another chance, even when we've messed up. I want to conclude this message today sharing a story about a boy named Paco. And I've shared this story before at some point, but I felt led to share it again today because this sermon may have touched a delicate nerve. And I know that matters can be sensitive between fathers and daughters and sons and fathers. You might be, as I say, hurting today. But I want to tell you this story quickly about a boy named Paco as I end. The original source of this story is from Ernest Hemingway's novel, The Capital of the World. And in that novel, Ernest Hemingway, he writes about a boy who's from Madrid, Spain. The young boy's name is Paco. And let me just say that there in Spain at that time, Paco was a very common name for a boy. Much like in our culture today, the name John, you know, is a very common name. But Paco lived in Madrid, Spain with his dad, and they had a falling out. Paco's ambition, he wanted to be a matador, a bullfighter. He and his dad had a falling out, and Paco ran away from home. And his dad grew anxious by nightfall when Paco didn't come home, and he started looking for his son, going street to street, door to door, looking for Paco, his son. And ultimately, the father realized that no amount of wandering the streets was going to bring Paco back, and he got this idea to put an ad in the local newspaper. And so the father, looking for his son Paco, trying to get him to come home, put an ad in the local newspaper. And the ad read in big block type, "Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montaña at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." And that was the ad. And the father prayed that maybe somehow, perhaps Paco would see it, see the ad, and then at noon Tuesday, meet him at the Hotel Montaña. When Tuesday came at noon, the father went to the Hotel Montaña, and to his shock, he found 800 young men there, all named Paco, all waiting for their fathers, all hoping for forgiveness. Think about that. 800 boys named Paco came to receive the forgiveness they so desperately needed. Let me ask you a question. Who do you need to forgive today? Is there someone that you need to extend forgiveness to? We all are like Paco at some point in our lives, hurting, vulnerable, sometimes storming out in anger, sometimes living with regrets. But can I say this? People need the same thing. We all have the same basic needs. Human beings have the same basic needs. What is to be loved? We all have the need to be loved. And when I say love, I mean loved unconditionally. I don't mean love like the world. Loved unconditionally. We all have the same need to be loved. And we have the same need to be accepted. And we have the same need to be forgiven. And that's exactly what our good, good Father, he's offering you today through the person of Jesus Christ. God's offering you unconditional love. God's offering you unlimited acceptance. God's offering you complete, total forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. It's all such a wonderful gift, but just like any gift that you receive, you have to do something to get it. You have to receive it. You have to take it. And on this Father's Day, I want to say God sees you. He rushes to your side with arms wide open. And the real question is, will you receive his gift of forgiveness today? With every head bowed, with every eye closed, ushers, if you'd help me. You might be sitting here today, you heard this message. You say, Brother Bill, I'm hurting. I need prayer. I grew up without my father. These fathering issues have affected me all my life. I need prayer. Let me see your hand in here today. I've been reeling from the effect of not having a father. Let me see your hand in here. You might be sitting here. Thank you. Thank you. I see. You might be sitting here today saying, I don't know all of what you're saying about the fatherhood of God. I didn't know God could be a father. I've never known God as a father, but I want to know him. I want to know him. Would you pray for me? I want to know God as my father. I've never given my life to Christ in the sense that I've turned my life over to him. Would you pray for me? Let me see your hand. Would you pray for me? I want to know God as my father. You said he's a good, good father. You said he's the ultimate father. I want to know the father. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Thank you. Lift your hand. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're here today in the auditorium. And you know you're not living right. You gave your life to Christ, but you know you're not living right. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians, you're praying. You know that you're not living right. Somehow during the course of this sermon, God's been speaking to you. And you know it's time to make things right with God. Jesus said this, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you won't be ashamed of me, I'll receive you as my own. Let me see your hand in here. You say, preacher, pray for me. I want to make things right with the Lord. I know things aren't right between me and God, and I want to make things right with God. I don't want to go another day with things not right between me and God. Let me see your hand in here. I want to get it right. God's a father. God's my father. And then you're here today and you say, I'm a Christian. I've heard about that wonderful experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I want that valid New Testament experience. They were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. That Acts 2:4 biblical experience. You want that experience. Let me see your hand. Thank you. I want to give you an invitation to come down here and show God that you mean business. I'm just going to count to three, my brother and sister, and resolve in your mind, one, that it doesn't matter who's around you. Resolve in your mind that you mean business with God. Resolve in your mind that you're not going to ignore the Holy Spirit who's speaking to your heart, that you're not going to shrug him off and ignore him. Two, and three. I want you to stand up on your feet right now. Just stand right up on your feet. Come on, just be bold. Stand up on your feet. Come down here, because I'm going to do what I said. I'm going to pray for you. Just stand up on your feet so I can pray for you. Come right down here and let me pray for you. Come on, come on. Come right on down here. That's all right. Come right down here. That's right. Come right down here. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be embarrassed. God's going to meet you in a way. God's going to touch you. He's going to touch your heart and your life. Come on, come on, come on. Christians, you're praying. Come on. That's right. Hey, man, God bless you. Thank you for coming today. Come right down here. Come right down here. Come on. Somebody else, God's talking to you. The doors of the church are open. Come on. Come on. The Lord's speaking to your heart. Let God minister to you today. Let God help you today. God's been talking to you. God's been ministering to you by his Spirit. I just want you to lift your hand to God. The doors of the church are still open for you to come. Tell me why you came today. Did you come for salvation?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to say a prayer. I want you to pray this prayer out loud. We're all going to pray it after you. And I just want you to say this prayer after me. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Father, I come. Everybody say it. Father, I come. In the name of Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I accept your offer of forgiveness through the person of Jesus Christ. Come into my heart, Lord. Make me the person you want me to be. And I'll live for you the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Reverend Greg here. He's got some free materials and going to answer any questions you have. He's not going to keep you long, but I want you to go. He's a minister here at the church, and I want you to go with him and let him give you those materials, okay? God bless you, man. Point your hand toward that young man. Father, we thank you for him. We thank you for his life. We thank you that there's a purpose that you have, a gift, a plan for his life. And we thank you that he'll receive everything that he came down here for in the mighty name of Jesus. May his life never be the same after today. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? We want you to honor your dad, honor that father figure in your life today. We want you to make sure that your dad knows that you love him. And if your dad's not in this earth, then share his memory and thank somebody else and love on somebody else. All of us pastors are going to go to the door where we can shake hands with you. Be here tonight, 6 p.m. Be ready for an on-time word. God bless you.